Morning, everybody. It's great to see you all out this morning, and I'm excited about this week's installment of God on Film, Star Wars movie. But before we do, we need to take just a moment to bring you up to speed on some family business, all right? 3 weeks ago, the leadership team asked me to inform you that we had a vacancy in our Next Generation department. Robbie Ballmeyer had indicated his desire to seek other employment, and he resigned earlier this week. We wish him and his family well as they pursue other opportunities. Now, over the past few weeks, we have interviewed multiple candidates for the position, and I'm pleased to announce to you today that this past Thursday evening, we filled the position. So our new Next Generation director is a man by the name of Adam Gehringer. Adam is 31 years old and currently lives in Louisville, Kentucky, with his wife, Courtney, and their two children, Theo and Whitaker. Adam has extensive experience in youth ministry, having served for several years with an organization called Back to Back Ministries, which organized and ran church camps and youth retreats in Ohio, Indiana, and Michigan. So he has a lot of experience in youth work, and he's been at Butler Springs almost every year, he said, since he was born. Back to Back also has a significant outreach orientation, which involved Adam in mission trips serving in orphanages in Mexico. So we're excited to have Adam and his family join our church family, and he'll be beginning service here on August the 1st. So we look forward to all of you getting to meet him and his family when they come to Hillsboro. And please be in prayer for the Ballmeyers, the Gehringers, and for our G&G family as we move forward. Okay? All right. Everybody ready to get to work? Today's movie is Solo, a prequel to the original Star Wars movies exploring the life of Han Solo. The movie is intriguing in part because it asks the fundamental question of its main character. It's the fundamental question of life that all of us should be asking ourselves.
You're after something. Is it revenge? Money? Or is it something else?
What is he after? What is he about? In other words, what is his purpose? Is it revenge? Is it money? Or something else? These questions run through the entire movie. But the truth is, we're all after something or someone. The question is, who or what is it for you? And who or what is it for me? What is your purpose? What is my purpose? What are we after in this life? Now, since the fall of the Galactic Republic, chaos and lawlessness reign supreme in the galaxy. With order disintegrating, organized crime syndicates have occupied the power vacuum. It's a time reminiscent of the days of the Old Testament judges, a time that the Bible described as follows. It said, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." It was that kind of time in the galaxy. In the words of the philosopher Thomas Hobbes, who described the life of mankind in the jungle this way. He said, "The life of man, solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short." That's the law of the jungle. When there is no law and order, there's only chaos. And Han can relate to Hobbes' definition of the human condition. He's grown up in the dark, industrial shipbuilding planet, Corellia. The notorious White Worms gang battles for valuable resources, food, medicine, and the precious and priceless hyperfuel, called Coaxium. Orphans and runaways like Han and his girlfriend Kira are forced into a life of crime. They are, for all intents and purposes, enslaved by the white worms. Growing up on the mean streets of Corellia is hard, but Han and Kira eke out an existence as best they can. She is a pickpocket who dreams of escaping from the white worms gang. He is a master of hot-wiring speeders, a getaway driver who dreams of one day becoming a pilot. They fall in love, and together they plot to leave Corellia.
I've been running scams on the street since I was 10. I was kicked out of the flight academy for having a mind of my own. I'm gonna be a pilot. Best in the galaxy.
He wants to be a pilot. The best in the galaxy. And after getting his hands on some coaxium, Han and Kira believe they can bribe their way off the planet. So they make a run for the spaceport. As they sprint toward a departing flight, Kira gets captured. And Han is forced to leave her behind. But he vows to return for her. Sadly, 3 years will pass before he sees her again. Shuttled to another planet with nothing but his dream of becoming a pilot and returning to Corellia to rescue Kira, Han enlists in the Imperial Flight Academy. The recruiter asks his name. Interestingly, Han doesn't actually know his full name. He's always just been Han. When the recruiter sees that he's alone and has no family and no friends, he gives him the last name, Solo, single, unattached, alone. Han Solo, the name sticks because it's true. He's on his own. Han trains with the Imperial Air Force, but he is drummed out of the academy for insubordination, and he is reassigned to the Imperial Army. And he finds himself fighting in a war he doesn't believe in. He has no real allegiance to the Empire and no desire to fight for it. He just wants out. Now, Han discovers that thieves have infiltrated his unit in order to steal equipment needed for the theft of a large shipment of coaxium.
Perhaps. I can take out the guards at the perimeter. Signalman, pilot, I'll just take them all out.
What are we looking at?
This way.
You have a talent for sticking your nose in where it doesn't belong.
I just couldn't help but notice. You're wearing a uniform pocket full of laser burns, so either you healed real quick, or you stole it off a dead man. You're not Imperial Army. You're thieves here to steal equipment for a job, and I want in.
Well, now we gotta shoot him.
No. Snap his neck. It's less than that.
He wants in. He wants in hopes of getting out of the Imperial Army, and he's willing to become a deserter. The thieves who are working for the Crimson Dawn Crime Syndicate ultimately take Han and Chewbacca on as part of their crew. Han hopes to make enough money from the heist to rescue Kira. In the process, they meet with the head of Crimson Dawn, the crime lord Dryden Voss. And for the first time in 3 years, Han sees Kira. It's a chance encounter, totally unexpected. He has been warned to keep a low profile around Voss, but seeing Kira catches him off guard. But she doesn't seem the same. Something's different. She's not the girl he remembers.
Did you ever get that ship we were going to fly away on?
Yeah, sort of. About to. That's why I'm here. I'm working on it, yeah. Working on a very big deal.
How big?
Enormous.
Really? And when are you going to close this enormous deal?
Any minute.
I thought about you a lot. Of somewhere. Some adventure. I imagined myself with you. It always made me...
What?
Hey! What did I say?
Look, I can't keep my eyes down the whole time. I'm gonna bump into something. I told you not to talk to me.
Beckett!
What are you...
Wait. You two work together?
Yeah.
Oh. I believe we've been introduced.
Yeah, this is Han Solo and Chewbacca. They're with me.
I'm Dryden Voss. I see you've already met my top lieutenant.
Han and I grew up together on Corellia.
Oh, fellow scrum rat. Well, I admire anyone who can crawl their way out of a sewer. Especially a sewer as putrid as Corellia. Stench, am I right? Well, it's good to have you. Welcome. And you too, Chewbacca. Welcome.
Kira is now the crime lord's top lieutenant. And Han has to wonder what happened to her during those intervening 3 years. And what did she have to do to get off the planet Corellia? Voss sends them to the mining planet of Kessel to steal unrefined coaxium. It's a dangerous trip through uncharted space. And they enlist the aid of the smuggler, Lando Calrissian, and his ship, the Millennium Falcon.
You see, how'd you guys let me beat you on that one? Come on. There's no liars in this game, just players.
The seat taken?
Nobody's in the seat, then I ain't taking, friend.
So this is, Sabak?
Sabak.
Sabak. Got it.
You played before?
A couple times, yeah.
Captain Lando Calrissian.
Han Solo. Looks like you're, having a good day.
I'm a lucky guy.
Can I ask you a question, Captain Calrissian?
Anything, Han.
That's Han, but... That's okay. I heard a story about you. I was wondering if it's true.
Everything you've heard about me is true.
The Millennium Falcon lives up to its reputation as the fastest ship in the galaxy. And Han discovers that Chewbacca is a pilot in his own right.
We need to divert auxiliary power to the rear deflector shield.
We definitely do.
Since when do you know how to fly? 190 years old? You look great.
Chewie, get in. I'll help Lando.
The crew steals the coaxium, but Han ultimately gives it to the Resistance, not to the Syndicate. He gives the Resistance the coaxium, but he doesn't join them or align with them. His allegiance is to no one. He's a smuggler, willing to run goods for the highest bidder. And sadly, he comes to the realization that his long-lost love is no longer the girl she used to be. She is now a woman who has aligned herself with the dark side. The purpose that had driven him for the past 3 years, rescuing her, it's over. He watches her fly away, leaving him behind. What now? What is he after now? What is he about now? What is his purpose? The movie ends with Han flying off into space. No particular direction. No specific destination. He's alone. He's purposeless. A rogue flyboy smuggler wandering from planet to planet, spaceport to spaceport. As the film's final shot so tellingly conveys, Han sails off into the horizon searching for a purpose. An answer to the question, what is he after? Interestingly, the last name hung on him by the Academy recruiter seems to fit him perfectly. Other than his co-pilot and sidekick Chewbacca, Han is all alone. He is, in fact, solo. Now, friends, today's lesson is entitled Finding My Purpose. And the question is, and I want you to roll this around in your head over the next few minutes, what is your purpose? If I were to ask you, what are you after? How would you answer that question? When you think about it, Solo's purpose centered on another human being, his long-lost love, Kira. And when she ended up no longer being the girl he remembered, his life lost focus and direction. So what's your purpose? Is it grounded upon someone or something that will last? Is it something you just make up on your own? Or do we have a purpose that is greater than ourselves, a purpose that gives focus and direction to our lives regardless of the changing circumstances around us? How do we find our purpose? And what does that mean to us, those of us that call ourselves Christians? Now, our focus verse is found in the book of Proverbs. It's coming up on the screens here. Let's all recite it together. Here we go. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter to the full light of day. You see, those who are followers of Jesus Christ, our path or our life should exhibit increasing light over time. Think about it. Jesus is described in the Bible as the light, a light that shines in a dark world. And just as sunrise begins with this faint glow at dawn, as the sun is coming up, and grows brighter and brighter until the sun rises in the sky, so our light should shine brighter and brighter as we grow in Christ. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us and for this opportunity that you have given us to look into your word. And hopefully, Father, this morning to find some truth about our purpose, why we're here, what it is we should be after. Father, help us to grapple with this issue so that we don't end up like Han Solo flying off into the horizon with no direction, no purpose, no real goal. Help us to think well, Father, for this is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Now, friends, this morning you received a white sheet with holes punched on the side. It's an outline. It's in your packet of information. And if you'll take that out at this time, that will help you follow along with this morning's lesson. But what I want to do this morning is I want to begin by asking two of the most fundamental questions of life. These are questions that philosophers have grappled with since the dawn of time. They're questions that every person wrestles with, whether we ask them in this exact way or with different words. These questions are there for all of us. And they're found in that box at the top of your outline. And the first question is this: what is my purpose? What is my purpose? What is your purpose? I want you to think about that for just a moment. What is your purpose? Now, for the average American, the answer to this question typically falls into one of two categories. One is kind of specific, and one is a little bit more general or a little bit more nebulous, maybe, in nature. The first category of answers revolves around the idea that my purpose is what I do. It's tied to what I do. Like Han, I'm a pilot, and I'm the best in the galaxy. That was kind of what his purpose seemingly became when Kira was no longer who he thought she was. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe the first thing you thought of when I asked that question, what is your purpose? The first thing you thought of was, it's about what I do. My purpose in life is to be a mechanic or a missionary or a Marine or an MD, whatever it is. It's the first question we automatically ask people. Have you ever thought about that? After we ask them, hey, what's your name? Nice to meet you. What do you do? What do you do? Well, I'm a lawyer, or I'm a teacher, or I'm a stay-at-home mom. We identify ourselves by what we do, and we tend to define ourselves by how successful we are at what we do. And when I asked this question at programming the other night, one person said, a lot of us parents, and a lot of us folks that have children find our purpose in our kids. And boy, that's true, isn't it? Our purpose is to make sure that our kids have successful and happy lives. I mean, they're our kids. I mean, we're responsible for them when we help bring them into the world. And one person went on to say, you know what's sad? When I think about it, sometimes I worry more about my kids' life in this life than I do about their afterlife. And chances are, if you've ever had children, you know what that's like. Because we get focused in on the here and now. How many of you, when I asked the question, what is your purpose, immediately thought in terms of what you do? You know, there's a second category of answers to that question that revolves around what I'm going to call, for purposes of this lesson, self-actualization. Self-actualization. I think this is really popular in American culture today. And you hear people say things like, well, my purpose is to find myself. Okay? I always want to ask those people, are you lost? What do you mean, find yourself? My purpose is my own personal fulfillment, my own happiness, or to use a phrase that has become just really a mantra in our culture, to be all that I can be. Okay? What exactly does that mean? And so we ask questions like, what do I want to be, especially when we're younger? What do I want to be when I grow up? Or what do I want to do with my life? Or what are my goals, my ambitions, my dreams for the future? What is it that makes me happy? But is this really the answer to the question, what is my purpose? I mean, think about it. Is it really about what I do? Is my purpose really some kind of self-centered search for personal fulfillment? Is that what our purpose is about? You got to ask that question. And that brings us to the second question, which is, who decides? Who determines my purpose? Me? I mean, do I get to determine my purpose and you get to determine your purpose? I mean, that sounds great to most Americans, right? Because we like the idea of being free and independent, capable of making our own choices and our own decisions and doing what I want with my life, right? Or is my purpose determined by others? Who decides? Now, we don't like to talk about that one so much, but truth is, even though we prefer to determine our own purpose, quite often we do allow others to weigh in heavily on what we do with our lives. Some of us in this room have ended up in jobs or careers or situations that others chose for us. Or we centered our purpose around another person, a parent, a spouse, a child, a lover, and one day they're gone and we find ourselves like Han Solo with no sense of direction and no purpose. And we struggle to answer the question, what are you after? What are you about? But think with me for just a moment. What if we've begun this lesson by asking the wrong question? Think about that. What if the question, what is my purpose, begins with the wrong starting point? Notice the question in the box again. Look at it. And circle that word, my. What is my purpose? And ask yourself this, what if it's not about me? What if the real answer to this question isn't about me at all, or what I do, or about me being all I can be? What if the answer to this question doesn't center around me? And what if the one who determines my purpose isn't me or other people around me? Perhaps, and think just for a second, is it possible that in order to find our purpose, we have to flip the question we've been asking? Could it be that the answer to the question is found in someone other than me and people around me? Notice what the Bible says in Colossians 1, 15 through 17. It says this. It says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. In other words, Jesus Christ, when he walked on the earth, was the visible image of God himself, God in the flesh here on earth. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. In other words, all things that were created by and through Christ. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. And then this sentence jumps out. Everything was created through him and what? For him. Circle that phrase, for him. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Now let's look at that sentence again. It says everything. In other words, that includes you and it includes me. Everything was created. In other words, it was brought into existence by him. Everything was created through him. In other words, by his will and for him, for his purpose. Whew. Have you ever thought about that? That you were created by God through Christ for him. Whoa. And for his purpose. In fact, Proverbs 16:4 says it this way, the Lord has made everything for his own purposes. The Lord has made. In other words, we are created beings. Anybody disagree with that? I mean, anybody think you created yourself? I didn't think so. The Lord has made, we are created beings, everything that includes you and me for his own purposes. In other words, he is God and I am not. He is God and you are not. You and I won't discover the purpose of our lives by looking within ourselves or looking at other people around us. Think about that for a second. Asking myself, what is my purpose, is asking the wrong person the wrong question. That bullet point says it this way, I did not create myself. I think we all agree on that. Thus, I cannot determine my purpose. I did not create myself, so there's no way you and I can determine what we were created for. Only our Creator can determine our purpose. Now, friends, this is really important that you get this point, or else the rest of the lesson won't matter, okay? So let me illustrate this. And this may at first seem kind of silly, But like I said, if you don't grasp this point, nothing else will make any sense. All right? Here we go. 14 years ago, my wife and I moved into our house in greater metropolitan Berriesville, okay? When we moved into our house, we discovered that the previous owner had left something behind. Now, you could think of it as a gift or as something they just wanted to escape, right? Okay? But it was there. And it was this. Okay? And I'll have you know that for the past 14 and a half years, I have wondered what this is. Okay? It appears to be some kind of pottery kind of thing, right? But it's not like any kind of pottery I have ever seen. It has these funny things on the top, which have no apparent explanation. It has a little rope thing that you can carry it around because it's quite heavy, all right? It's not really like a pretty thing that you put flowers in and put it in the middle of your kitchen table or on a dining room table or anything like that. And for the past 14 years, I've wondered, what are you for? What are you about? What is your purpose? Okay? At times, I have asked it the question. Okay? An answer, as you might well expect, right? And you know what? It kind of occurred to me that the only person, because I've asked when we've had people over and they see it, I'm like, can you tell me what that is? And they're like, no. Okay? But I know who knows. It's the guy that made it, or the gal that made it. And the only person that really knows what this thing is and what its purpose is, it's its creator. Now, if I ask it what it is or what its purpose is, I will not get a good answer. You see, the thing itself cannot tell me its purpose. Only its maker can. Which is part of the reason why the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament said, "Woe to those who quarrel with their maker. Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, 'You did not make me'? Can the pot say to the potter, 'You know nothing'? Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." You see, unless there is a creator, we have no purpose. Unless there is a creator, we cannot know our purpose. Christians, for some reason, struggle with this. Atheists do not. Do you realize that? Probably one of the most prominent British philosophers of the last century, a man by the name of Bertrand Russell, said this. He said, "Unless you assume a God, the question of life's purpose is meaningless." In other words, if you are not a created being, you don't have a purpose. And trying to figure out what it is meaningless. Unless you assume a God, the question of life's purpose is meaningless. So if there is a God, then how does our purpose play into this? Romans tells us this. It says, "For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory." In other words, you and I, friends, were created by God and for his glory. We were created by God and for his glory. Now, maybe you're not real familiar with the word glory, and you want to, what exactly is the glory of God? Well, the glory of God is really who he is. It's the essence of his nature, the weight of his importance, the radiance of his holiness and his justice and his love. It's the expression of his power and his goodness. That's what God's glory is, and we were created by God for his glory. So the question is not, what is my purpose? But what is God's purpose for me? That's the question that you and I have to answer. That's the question we've got to be asking. So when you think about the glory of God, and where do we see his glory? And the answer to that question is, it's all around us. It's everywhere we look. It's throughout the created order. In fact, Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. So the created order expresses his glory, his power and his might and his majesty and his beautiful creativity. But there's another way we see his glory. We see his glory in his Son. The Bible tells us the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he'd provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. In other words, when Jesus sacrificed himself for our sins, he was portraying God's glory to all of human beings. And he, as he lived on this earth, was the exact representation of God. You know, there's another aspect of that word glory. And that aspect is, it bears on what we do in here on Sunday morning when we enter into praise and worship. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, you are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things and they exist because you created what you pleased. In other words, God is worthy of our praise and gratitude, giving him glory or lifting him up as we do and bringing attention to him, not to ourselves. That's why we sing praise songs to him. So what is our purpose? Your purpose and my purpose is to glorify God with my life and with your life. That's our purpose. It's not just to become whatever it is we decide to do in life. It's not another person, as Han Solo found out, much to his chagrin. My purpose is to glorify God with my life. Now, the problem is, the Bible tells us, for all have sinned. We've all done that. And notice what it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we've all fallen short. But what are we to do? How can I glorify God with my life? How can I do that? Well, here at Good News Gathering, one of the ways we try to help the members of this church family figure out how to glorify God with their lives is through that logo that we use, that G diagram that's up here on your screen. This kind of represents what we believe that people exhibit as they begin to glorify God with their lives. And the very first aspect of that G&G logo is to get into a relationship with God through his Son. In other words, we believe that those who are glorifying God with their lives, they get what Jesus did for them. They get the fact that he died on a cross for them and offers us a relationship with God. The book of Romans says it this way, for God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. Circle those four words, right standing with himself. You see, when you and I accept Christ as the Savior of our lives, and the person who has saved us from our sin by dying on the cross, he offers us a right standing with God, a right relationship with him. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. You see, when we accept what Jesus did on the cross for us, we participate in the glory of God. That's the first thing. And we talk about that in great detail in class 101. The second thing is this. The second way that we glorify God with our life is to grow more and more like his son. Remember our focus verse talked about shining brighter as the day goes on. In other words, the more time we spend as Christians and in the church family and in relationship with God, the more we grow more and more like his son, and our light shines brighter every day. That's why the Bible says, so all of us, those of us who have accepted Christ as our Savior, can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Now think about what it's saying here. It says, so all of us can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And when you think about that idea of the reflection, it's kind of like the moon. We're a little bit like the moon. And the truth of the matter is, the moon is not particularly beautiful, okay? I mean, if you look at the moon, basically what it is, it's a rock floating in space, kind of around the earth, right? It's not particularly beautiful. It's the reflection of the sun that makes it beautiful. It's the reflection of the sun that makes it shine in the darkness. And by the same token, all of us can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and he makes us more and more like his son over time. And in class 201, we talk about those spiritual disciplines that can help us become more and more like his son as we engage in that relationship with God. Now, the third way we glorify God with our lives is to give our lives in service to others. To give our lives. God has given each of us a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Peter tells us, use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. And we're actually going to cover this in a little more detail next week in our God on Film series. But each of us is uniquely molded and shaped by God with gifts and talents and abilities that can be used to serve others and make this world a better place. And then finally, go share the good news with others. Go and share the good news. The Apostle Paul wrote, as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory. See, God doesn't want his love and his goodness kept a secret. His grace is available to all, and he expects us to share it with others. Now, on that last page, there's a box that says, my next step this week. And here's what I hope that you'll do this week. I hope that everybody that's a part of the G&G family will take just a moment this week at some point to honestly evaluate if you or others have determined your purpose. Where have you found purpose in your life up to this point? Is it from within you? Is it something you decided, or is it something others placed upon you? What is your purpose? Is that the question you've been asking? Or are you asking, what is God's purpose for me? And I hope that you'll get there, that at some point this week you'll honestly ask the question, what is God's purpose for my life? Because when you think of those things that we just talked about, how you glorify God with your life, you can do that whether you're a missionary, whether you're a mechanic, whether you're a Marine, or whether you're an MD. It's not about what you do in life. It's God's purpose for your life. And are you living that out? Now, maybe for some of you here this morning, you want to know what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've got questions about that. And if you do, I hope you'll check that box on the communication card and we'll get with you. Or perhaps you want to sign up for the baptism celebration that's coming up on July the 29th. Maybe what you want to do is to glorify God with your life by inviting an unchurched friend to come to God on Film with you. We've got those invite cards out there. The greeters will show you where they are. The popcorn invite bags, those things can help you because they've got the service times on them to remind your friend. And that last box is this, and I hope everyone who's a part of the G&G family will participate in this. I will help share the good news with the residents of Ward 3 by participating in the family movie night block party on Saturday, July 14th. That's next Saturday, friends. And you've got that insert in your bulletin that gives you the times that everything is happening. Please come out and be a part of that and help us to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the residents of Ward 3. Friends, I hope that you will seriously ask that question. What is God's purpose for my life? Because if up to now you've been finding your purpose within yourself, or in what you do, or in someone else, friends, at some point in this life, you'll end up just like Han Solo, directionless and purposeless. Friends, ask that question. What is God's purpose for my life? Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we could spend in your word, asking one of those questions that thinkers and philosophers have grappled with since time immemorial. A question that all of us wrestle with, whether we realize it or not. A question that's always hanging there, regardless of how old we are or what stage in life we are. Help us, Father, to flip that question, to stop asking what is my purpose, but to ask, what is God's purpose for my life? And how do I glorify him with my life, right here and right now? Help us to do that, Father. For this is our prayer in Christ's name, and we all agreed together and said, amen.